Welcome to the Balanced Mind. My name is Dion Bicycle. Today we are going to tackle a topic that is often most overlooked but deeply serious. So many people experience emotional distress or deep hurt, yet they choose to stay silent. They think it won't be worth it, but no one will understand, or most commonly they fear of being judged. We often think that if we bury a feeling deep enough, it will simply go away. But the truth is, holding on to these emotions has massive consequences that many people don't realize until later in life. When problems arise that they can't explain. You see, the body remembers what the mind tries to forget. In today's episode, we are diving into the biology of what happens in the brain and body when we stay silent. I also share practical skills to help you put those heavy emotions into words. And finally, we'll discuss on how to find the right person to talk to when you're ready to take that step. Welcome to the Balanced Mind. Let's begin. In the first segment, we are going to look at the biology of silence. We're going to see what happens in your brain when we stay silent about emotion, about trauma that we don't want to speak about. We're going to see how the brain copes with it and why we struggle physically with emotions and trauma that we don't speak about. When we experience a trauma, a deep hurt, or a stressful problem, it is first processed by the amygdala. This is a small, almond-shaped part of the brain that acts as your internal alarm system. Its only job is to look for threats. When you refuse to talk about a problem, or when you bury the problem, the amygdala stays in a state of high alert. He doesn't realize that the event is over. It thinks that the threat is still happening as life goes on. This keeps your entire body in a high threat zone, also known as fight or flight. If you follow my podcast, you know now how often I speak on the fight or flight mode. When you are in this zone, your body is constantly pumped full of adrenaline and cortisol. This is why you feel physically exhausted, irritable, and unable to sleep. Because you haven't spoken about it, the emotion is trapped in this primitive, wordless part of the brain. Now that is very important. We need to realize that in the amygdala, there's no words, but hold on to that thought because we're going to come back to this. because we need to shift the emotion to the cortex part of the brain to engage the logic center. That would be the cortex. The breakthrough happens when we decide to take that emotion and move it from the amygdala to the prefrontal cortex. This is the front part of your brain responsible for logic, reasoning, and most importantly, language. And in today's podcast, we are going to look at how we're going to use language to help with emotional trauma and how important it is to focus on language. When we start to talk, we are forced to find words for our pain. This process is called affect labeling. But then we need to also have some kind of breaking mechanism for the amygdala to stop processing the emotion as a threat. The biology here is very fascinating. As soon as your prefrontal cortex begins to name the emotion, say things like, I feel betrayed, or I am terrified of failing, it sends a direct inhibitory signal to the amygdala. Think of the prefrontal cortex as the brakes on a car. By labeling the feeling, the logic brain tells the emotional brain, I see a problem, I have named it, and we are now processing it. You can stand down. This effectively breaks the fear response. So it breaks the amygdala to stop to feel this threat. It can calm down because the prefrontal cortex knows what's going on and they know how to handle it. Because we can now think about the emotion. And that can only happen through speech, talk, conversation. And that is why we feel better. Once the emotion is labeled, it is no longer scary or a foggy monster in the dark. It becomes a data point that we can understand. By naming it, you can take away its power to the trigger that alarms the system, which is the amygdala. This is the exact moment you feel your shoulders drop. All of a sudden, you can breathe deeper. You can feel your heart rate is slowing down. You haven't just vented the emotion. You have biologically de-escalated your nervous system. You calmed down. You see, while the amygdala is screaming, danger, danger, because we aren't talking, it triggers a chemical flood throughout the body. The main player here, or the thing that floods the body is called cortisol, often called the stress hormone. When you keep a problem inside, your body is effectively marinating the cortisol. In short bursts, cortisol is helpful, but when it's constant, because you are suppressing your feelings, it becomes toxic. And this leads to that physical pain that a doctor can't diagnose. Because cortisol causes muscles to stay tense. You need to stay ready to fight. You need to get ready. We're going to fight now. That's the cortisol's job. And this leads to chronic pains in the neck, in the back, in the stomach. You also feel exhausted. Your body is running a marathon of stress while you are sitting at the back of your desk. This leads to deep secular fatigue that sleep cannot fix. It also weakens the immune system. Cortisol suppresses the immune response. When you don't talk, your body stops producing the fighter cells needed to keep you healthy, making you a more sustainable to viruses and infections. We are talking about what happens if we have a trauma or feelings, emotions, but we don't talk about them. So we're going to talk about the consequences of what happens if we don't talk about these emotions. So here we're going to look a lot about and speak about a pressure cooker and how it works, and how that image also works with our mind. When we look at the pressure cooker metaphor, we see that silence doesn't equal peace. Let me explain. Many people believe that burying an emotion is like burying a seed that is that stays hidden and eventually dies. But the biological truth is that it has an opposite effect. When we suppress our problems, we aren't burying them. We are pressurizing them. Let's look a bit more closer to the pressure cooker metaphor. Think of your emotional life like this pressure cooker. Every time you ignore a hurt, swallow a fear, or hide a trauma, you are turning up the heat. Because the lid is tightly sealed by your silence, the emotional energy has nowhere to go. It doesn't disappear. It stays alive, swirling and building force. Eventually, the pressure becomes too much for the container to hold, since you won't let the steam out through your mouth, and that this is by talking. It finds its own way out through leaks. This is why people seem just fine and suddenly they experience road rage. You know, one person not using an indicator and now everything is wrong in the world, right? There's also where people snap at their loved ones. I can't believe he didn't lock the door. I can't believe he didn't close the garage. Now I need to go out. And so on and so on. You aren't actually angry at your partner or at a person. You are simply overflowing. And they happen to be nearby. So they are the soft target. And irritability and the edge. You know, you feel you're always 1 second away from a breakdown. If I don't do this, I'm going to break down and you don't know what to do with me. But they feel they're close to a breakdown. And again, we look at depression. Because sometimes the brain gets tired of holding the lid down. When the pressure cooker is too heavy to manage, the brain shuts down. To save energy, leading to that heavy, numb feeling of depression. And that's one thing we need to remember. If we keep quiet about all the things that's hurting us, somewhere along the line, if we don't work on it, we're going to shut down. We're going to have a breakdown. And then people ask, but why now? What's happening? And some of the most questions often asked is, what's been happening in your life that you don't talk about? You see, cognitively, you're not dealing with the pain. You are hiding the pain. One of the most dangerous consequences of silence is what it does to your cognitive load, what you're doing, your working, your concentration. Your brain has limited amount of daily energy, and we call this working memory. When you keep your thoughts inside, your brain is forced to use a massive portion of that energy to guard the pain. It's like running a heavy software program in the background of a computer, and it slows everything down. And we waste energy. The energy you should be using to focus on your work, enjoy your hobbies, or connect with your family is being redirected to keep this lid on all your secrets and feelings, obviously. This is why silence causes brain fog. You find it harder to think, your concentration slips, and your decision making becomes poor. You are losing your mind, in so to speak. You are just using all your mental fuel to hide your hurt. And obviously, this will reduce your quality of life. When you are busy hiding your feelings and emotions, you cannot be fully present. You might be at the birthday party, or you're sitting in a meeting, or at the dinner party, but you aren't really there because your brain is occupied with the internal struggle. Silence steals your ability to feel joy because you cannot selectively numb your emotions. If you numb the pain through silence, you're also effectively numbing your happiness. Now we're going to look at the clues to your inner world. Bridging feelings with words. We are moving from the why to the how. We want to look at the practical tools we can use to connect our raw feelings with actual words. This is the key to understanding the source of our pain. Let's take an example. WhatsApp status. In today's world of social media, many people have forgotten that words are the primary key to solving inner pain. Have you noticed how people will post a sad song, a dark picture, or a specific quote on their WhatsApp status? Often, these posts have a recurring theme. But if you ask the person what is wrong, they are silent. They might say something like, "Oh, it's just how I feel, you know, but I don't know why. It's just something that I felt." They are using a picture to scream because they haven't found the words to speak. Ask yourself, if you look at the last few songs you've listened to on repeat, do they have the same message? Even if the melodies are different, do they give you the same lingering feeling? Do they remind you of a specific person or a specific moment in time? Often your playlist is a map of the words you haven't said yet. Think about that for a moment. So when it comes to putting words to feelings, we can also use our five senses. When we go through a trauma, the brain records it through our five senses. Often the words are missing, but the senses remain. Stuff like you still hear the scratching of the tires on the highway. You see the flickering flames on a building. Or when you look into someone's eyes. Or you might still smell a certain cologne. Or the scent of a room where you felt unsafe. These are memories. They are biological clues. Your body is trying to process the event that hasn't been put into words yet. When you identify the sensory trigger, you identify the door to the emotion, which is a big step. Secondly, many people stay silent because their inside feels like a tangled mess, and they think they need to clean up before they can talk, get things in order, know what to say. But I want to tell you, it is okay to be messy. It's okay to feel cramped up, not knowing what to say. It's okay. Think of it like an old, cluttered room. You don't have everything organized before you let someone in. It's only by looking at the mess together that we can find what we're looking for. The core truth, or the original hurt that started it all. You don't need a perfect sentence. You just need a starting point. What we can also look at is visual aids, emojis and colors. Sometimes the language center of our brain is overwhelmed that it shuts down. In these moments, we need a backdoor into our feelings. I often give my clients a sheet of paper covered in emojis. I give them a minute or so and ask them to identify an emoji that they are currently feeling inside. It is much easier to point to a face that looks broken or exhausted than it is to find those words in your head. Once you point to the image, you have a direction. So when they say they feel exhausted, then I can ask, okay, you feel exhausted. Is it a physical exhaustion or an emotional exhaustion? And often they would say it's emotional. Then I say, okay, what weighs you down? What thought weighs you down? And so on and so on. And then with each question, we get closer to the core emotion and what happened. And from there, we can talk about it. We can also work with a color wheel. People who struggle with words often find color very intuitive. You might feel gray, which is numb or heavy. Red, you are burning with anger. Or black, feeling a void or hopelessness. Then we can also combine colors, emojis, and words. We take the messy sensory energy of the pain and slowly turn it into a story that we can finally tell. It is vital to remember that we rarely feel just one thing. Feelings come in layers. As you start to listen to your emotions, you will notice that one or two are prominent. They are the loudest. But beneath the anger, there might be a betrayal. Beneath the silence, there might be a grief. These emotions are connected. When we pull on one thread, the rest of the knot starts to loosen. With this, I'd like to come back to music again. Music is the soul's shorthand. We listen to songs that say what we are too afraid to speak about. But here's the catch. Listening to a song over and over is like looking at a map of a destination but never actually driving there. The song validates the feeling, but only the words spoken out loud can move the feeling out of the body. This is where, you know, songs can help us to loosen the string, right? Loosen the string from that knot. When we use music and a client says, I've been listening to this song and I can relate, then we can look at the lyrics and you can say, okay, let's take that lyrics and put it into your situation. And when we do that, we loosen the string, and then people start talking about what they are feeling and why they are feeling that. It's easier to identify. Now we're going to start talking about what we can do to start talking about the emotions we just identified, either through senses, pictures, emojis, songs, and so on. So we're going to ask, who do we talk to and how do we start? Many people want to talk to people or someone, but they just don't know how. We've talked about the science, the physical pain of silence, and the tools to find your words. But now we have to face the biggest hurdle. Who do I tell? Many people stay quiet because they've been judged before, or they don't want to be a burden to other people. Well, the first thing to do is we need to identify someone that you feel safe with. Not everyone is equipped to hear your story or your emotions. And that's okay. To find a safe person, look at these four vital qualities. Look for a person that is non-judgmental. A safe person won't tell you that you're too sensitive or lecture you on what you did wrong. We have all talked to the wrong person before. Someone who gives us a lecture instead of listening, instead of giving us the listening ear, that hurts us more and makes us want to never speak again. A safe person doesn't look for someone to blame. They look for a way to support you. Something that is crucial when it comes to being a safe person is the fact that whatever is said needs to stay confidential. This is the foundation of trust. Nothing cuts deeper than sharing your pain with a person. Only to have someone else ask you about it later, because the word got out and you shared something from your life. If you are going to be vulnerable, make sure you can trust that person. It is okay to say, I need to tell you something, but I need you to promise it stays between us. When we say the sentence, the safe person that you are talking to can understand, okay, but this is heavy and this is serious, and that is why it needs to stay between us. It's heavy, it's important, you need to listen. Which brings me to the next point. We need to listen actively. A good listener doesn't try to fix or interrupt you with your own story. They allow you the space to be messy. Like we said before, We are messy when it comes to feelings because we don't have everything worked out. And the person you are talking to need to realize that and have grace. And they won't be offended into the use of angry words or ugly words, swearing. Because many times these swearing are the only words they have to vent. So the person listening need to be mature enough to understand that this is only words used to explain. These words are used to explain yourself perfectly. And that person need to be mature enough to handle the weight of your truth without needing to change it. Then it also needs to happen in a safe environment. Outbursts can happen anywhere, but for your own healing, choose a private, quiet place. You are going to be vulnerable. You might cry. Give yourself the dignity of a closed door where he can feel free to talk without looking over your shoulder. This reminds me of a teacher I had in primary school. When it was break time, before break, I would go to him and I would say, can we please talk during break? And then all the kids would go out to play and she would keep me back. Her attention was solely on me and listening what I had to say. And within that break, I could vent my emotions and I can tell her I'm vulnerable without the other kids knowing about my emotional pain. And that over there, what she did started my healing, and I could tell her what happened and she could listen. When we go on after we identified someone, we now need to look at how are we going to start the conversation. The first sentence is always the hardest. You don't need a long speech. You just need a bridge. A bridge that connects the feeling with words. And then we can say, you know what? We can use phrases like the following. Here's the heads up. I've been carrying something heavy and I'm ready to for solutions. I just need 10 minutes for someone to listen. Or we can say, I've realized I'm not okay, as I've been pretending to be. We also get that music bridge, remember? I've been listening to this song because I feel like I can tell you something. Or I can feel this is what's going on in my heart. Can I tell you why? And then it can lead to a conversation. I often tell my clients, you wouldn't feel ashamed to take your car to a mechanic if the engine was smoking. You wouldn't try to fix a broken leg by yourself, would you? So why do we treat our minds differently? I see myself as an emotional mechanic. I have the tools and a neutral perspective to help you unpack that messy feeling you have or messy thoughts on your mind. I'm not here to judge what you're feeling. I'm here to help you find the truth so you can finally heal. When we talk to a right person, the brain fog starts to lift and the logic center of your brain finally takes charge and you realize you aren't alone in this. That shared weight is always easier to carry. So we have talked today about the general struggle of silence. But if you find that your specific triggers are constantly harming your inner self and your relationships or your health, a personalized approach can be transformative. As a counselor, I am dedicated to your total well-being. I use a system approach, meaning I don't judge or I don't just look at the symptoms. I look at your body, mind, and spirit as one. My mission is to help you achieve a bio-spiritual wellness and protect you from negative factors that lead you to burnout or breakdown. We will work together to develop a plan where I will train, guide, and monitor your progress. Whether you need practical coping skills or a deeper education on how your lifestyle impacts your health, I am committed to helping you facilitate lasting self-care. I take confidentiality very seriously. If you come to me and you feel you need help but you don't know where to start, all you can do is, "Dion, I need help." That's all. From there, we can work together on a plan on how we can source your pain. We can look at your emotions and we can work from there to get to the source. Don't carry the silence for another day. Let's start the work of balancing your mind together. If you want to get in touch with me, please do so on the Dion Bicycle page on Facebook. You can also email me, dionlabu@gmail.com, with the subject line, "The Balanced Mind." Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, take care of your heart, listen to your body, and remember that your voice is your greatest tool to healing.